So I know at least for myself, and I'm sure all of you listening as well, we've all just been kind of holding on to the edge of our seats to figure out what does the future of LSU basketball look like ever since Will Wade was fired, ever since the notice of allegations was sent to LSU. What is the fate of this men's basketball program? And as we outlined on the podcast yesterday, what's the fate of the football program as well? Well, that's all down the line. That's all long-term thinking. Now, there are some immediate repercussions of Will Wade's firing, so we will get into that and more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Out, and we're going to play for LSU. We're going to play for those letters on our front of our jerseys. Those guys are committed to that. They're excited about this opportunity. My staff is excited about this opportunity. This is easy for us. I mean, this is what we do. This basketball is what we do.
That was interim head coach Kevin Nickelberry, who will take over the reins while LSU plays in the NCAA tournament. But first and foremost, I want to appreciate y'all and thank you so much for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And this episode of Locked On LSU is brought to you by Stat Hero. Stat Hero is reshaping the way you play fantasy sports. There are dozens of house-based games to play daily. No sharks, no funky props, just your skill against the lineups that you choose. Sign up today at stathero.com/lockedon. I am Caroline Fenton, and I am your host, as I am every day. I am an LSU alum. I am a diehard LSU fan, and I am now a sports talk radio host in Nashville, Tennessee for ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can follow me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. I post LSU thoughts, LSU opinions, sports takes in general. Follow me on Twitter there or at Locked On LSU for podcast updates, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Locked On LSU, so you can get notified as soon as those podcasts drop. As soon as I upload the video, you will get a notification and you will get your LSU news stat. But like I said, that was Kevin Nickelberry speaking earlier about, you know, this team is going to play for LSU. And Kevin Nickelberry taking in as interim head coach, taking on a really, really tough job, because not only is he left, you know, to kind of keep this team focused after not just a coach being fired, but throughout a scandal. Not only are these kids focused on the NCAA tournament, but they're also focused on what does my future look like here? So a lot of things that Coach Kevin Nickelberry is juggling here. Now, he spoke with the media a couple days ago, and my biggest takeaway from his media availability was two things: adversity and inexperience. And this team is facing a ton of adversity. And at this time of the year, so was every team. They're injured. They're tired. They're at the end of the season, but LSU lost their coach the day after they got bounced in the SEC tournament. And like I said, they're facing all of these, you know, this scandal and all of these, this gossip surrounding the program. There's a lot of outside noise. And to his point, this team is facing a lot of adversity. They faced adversity all throughout the season with injuries and the rough skids throughout the season. But the biggest adversity that Coach Nickelberry had continued to harp on was the lack of experience. He had a lot of emphasis on age. And I did wonder why he continued to bring up this lack of experience. But this is Coach Kevin Nickelberry on how they can continue to stay focused. And even though they don't have a lot of experience, even though this is a very young team, they're going to continue to stay motivated. And even, you know, it can be tough to do that without your leader, without the person that brought you into this program, without the person that sold you on this program, without Will Wade. It can be incredibly difficult with this young team to stay focused. But this is Coach Kevin Nickelberry on what he is doing and what he is trying to get his team to focus on rather than noise, but on the court.
We have a lot of guys who haven't mentioned this in the term. This is all new. Like I said, I don't want to keep saying it, but it's the reality. We are the youngest team in SEC, one of the youngest teams in the country. We're putting two freshmen out there to start the game and bringing freshmen and sophomores off the bench who've never played an NCAA tournament game against a very experienced team. So I'm hoping that that this may motivate them to play for them, play for LSU, play for their families, and give them a reason to play more than they would have had anyway.
And you hear it there. It's, you know, it's not just about playing for your coach, which is something that I'm sure that this team did throughout the season. And this is players of the past, LSU players of the past under Will Wade have done. But I think that Coach Nickelberry does a very good job of outlining, like, look, hey, you know, we still have a lot to play for. You got the front of your jersey. You got your family. We still have a job, even though this program may look a little bit different than it did whenever you walked in here, first and foremost. You still have a job to do, and we still have an expectation that has been set and an expectation that they would like to exceed. So I thought that was a good point by Coach Nickelberry there, but I did wonder why continue to emphasize, and that was not just the only time that he mentioned that in that press conference, why continue to emphasize the lack of experience? Why continue to emphasize that Tari Eason, arguably the best player for the Tigers, has never been to an NCAA tournament? Why continue to emphasize that this is the youngest team in the SEC? Because that absolutely is relevant, but why continue to bring it up? And I thought one of a few reasons. One, it could just be setting the expectations and saying, look, we know that we're a good team. We know that we've gone out there and we've put out a really good product on the court before. And we know that throughout the season, we've put out a not so great product. So the expectations for this team can't be incredibly high because, one, this team is young and inexperienced and they haven't been in a tournament setting before. And two, it's going to be incredibly difficult for some of the younger players to maybe metabolize these feelings and to continue to block out the noise and to stay focused, because that's a lot easier to ask of a 20, 21, 22-year-old who's been through this, maybe not necessarily their coach getting fired because of an NCAA violation. However, they've been through, you know, the gossip and the rumors and the outside noise and the social media. They've done it before and they've been there before. Whereas freshmen and young players, which this team has a lot of, haven't been there before. I also, part of me wonders, was that a message to his team? Was that a message saying, look, I understand that you haven't been here before. I understand that the NCAA tournament setting can be incredibly intimidating. I know, I understand that it's a grind. There's a lot of games being played in a short period of time and you're already tired and you're already going into it injured. Was that a message to the players to say, look, I know you haven't been here before, but I still believe in you. And these three letters across your chest still believe in you. This fan base still believes in you. Your family still believes in you. So even though we are going through all of this adversity, and even though we are, you know, facing a lot of repercussions down the pipe, likely, and even though all of the news surrounding LSU basketball right now is not very positive, we still believe in you, and we still know that you can go out and do that. And, you know, I don't know what his, the reason behind continuing to emphasize how young and inexperienced this team is, but I do think it's one of the two, and maybe a combination of both, is a message to the fan base that, hey, we're young, we're inexperienced, we're going to go out there and we're going to do the absolute best that we can, but you can't expect too much from these young guys competing against more veteran teams in the NCAA tournament. Or is it saying to his own guys, look, you're young, we've had the odds stacked against us all season long, and we can continue to do that because we've done it before. We've beaten adversity before. I don't know, but I thought it was very interesting, and I appreciated the fact that Coach Kevin Nickelberry continued to emphasize that even though their coach is gone, they still have something to play for. But coming up next, a player from the current LSU team that will continue to make a big impact for this team throughout the NCAA tournament, and also the repercussions of Will Wade's firing and how that can affect the future of the team. We will get into that coming up next. But before we do that, remember that March Madness is just a hop and a skip away. And my bracket, it's not totally finished yet. I was going to wait until after the playoff play-in games to finish up my bracket and tweak my bracket. But while I feel good about it today, I know that this time next week, it'll probably be busted, but Stat Heroes NCAA single game pick'ems pits the star players against each other in this amazing hybrid between fantasy and sports gambling, so you don't always have to worry about your bracket getting busted. Take your control back from the handicappers that always seem to have the advantage and focus on the players that you know best with a gameplay that does not rely on big spreads, long odds, or funky props. Stat Hero gives you the advantage, resulting in their gamers winning four times more often because Stat Hero eliminates the mystery about who or what you're going up against. In addition to their pick'em games, they also have dozens of lineups that you can comb through to take on head-to-head. They simply post sets of players for you to take on with a set of players you choose. Stat Hero is the easiest and fastest way to get your sports action fix. The Simple Sleek gameplay will have you playing in minutes. That is exactly what Daily Fantasy was meant to be. So this week, if I'm going to pick a player, yesterday I said I was going to pick Kennedy Chandler. I think that he has been lights out, and I think that this Tennessee team has been red hot. Another player sticking in the SEC, I'm going to take Walker Kessler, because this Auburn team very much so is prepped to make a run for the tournament, and I think this Auburn team very much so is fueled by Walker Kessler, so keep an eye on him throughout the tournament. Sign up for free right now at stathero.com/lockedon and use promo code LOCKEDON for a 100% deposit match. That is stathero.com/lockedon and use promo code LOCKEDON for a 100% match. stathero.com/lockedon, promo code LOCKEDON. Terms and conditions apply. March Madness is only a couple days away, which means that you need to start thinking now about where you're going to be running your brackets this year. Are you going to go for the usual, or are you looking for the best? We've done our homework here, and we are running our brackets with runyourpool.com. Along with standard brackets, Run Your Pool offers game types like Survivor or Pick X, and they're both really, really fun in their own way. Plus, they have options to edit your scoring. And they offer more intel to make your picks. All the stuff that you're not going to find at ESPN or CBS. So switch things up. Plus, if you've got a business, Run Your Pool can help you take some of that madness magic and play along your employees or even gain customers. Use it as a business tactic. Plus, they offer full white glove customer support, custom branding, and one of the easiest 3-minute setups that you will ever find. Clearly, we at Locked On believe in Run Your Pool because, like I said, we are running our brackets there ourselves. And there is no truer test than that. So if you want to play against us for a shot at a cash prize up to $1,800, join us at runyourpool.com/lockedon. And while you're there, create your own pool for your friends and family. Enter code PUREMADNESS at checkout for $10 off your custom pool. All the rules and details will be available there. That's runyourpool.com/lockedon for your chance to win a cash prize up to $1,800. We look forward to seeing and beating you there. Thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Make sure to check out Locked On Bracket Breakdown on March 14th right here on Locked On LSU's podcast feed and YouTube channel. You can go back to our podcast feed and YouTube channel to get all of the updates on that bracket breakdown from Monday. College basketball experts Chris Gordy, Andy Patton, and expert Lee Sterling give you in-depth breakdowns on every matchup. So like I mentioned, the Will Wade firing has repercussions both in LSU's current team and also in the future. But taking a look at the current team, we heard some from Coach Kerry saying that, you know, this is a young team and we're really going to try our best to keep this team focused. And there's one player specifically that Kevin Nickelberry is going to lean on to make sure that this team stays focused, stays motivated, and keeps, you know, their ears off the noise and their eyes off of the TV screen saying anything negative about this LSU team. So this is Coach Kevin Nickelberry, but how he's kind of leaning on Darius Days to be a leader for this team, a moral leader and a competitive leader for some of the younger guys on this team.
I'm going to lean on him a lot. I mean, Darius has been through this before. So I asked him to speak to the team and he spoke to the team and he's going to continue to mentor these kids and prepare them for this moment. I mean, again, they call it a shining moment for a reason. This is a moment. And I think Darius has been through it. I think he's very prepared to prepare these young guys for this moment.
A couple things here. I have to give Coach Kevin Nickelberry credit for really relying on the older players on this roster and not just looking at it and saying, oh my gosh, we have the youngest roster in the SEC. You know, what are we going to do? We just lost our coach, so on and so forth. That he's looking at the adversity that LSU has been facing. Like we mentioned in the last segment that he said, you know, LSU is facing a ton of adversity. He mentioned that so many times in his press conference. So he's not just saying that and saying, oh, woe is me. He's doing something about it and relying on the most veteran player on this team to reach out to his players. And good on Kevin Nickelberry for understanding and acknowledging that while he's an assistant coach that has recruited a lot of these guys, that has been there throughout a lot of their tenures, he's not necessarily their number one go-to in terms of motivation, in terms of leadership. They look to Will Wade for that. They don't have that anymore, but they still have Darius Days, a guy who's been there before, who's been to the NCAA tournament 3 times before. So good on him for recognizing, one, a problem that LSU has in this quote-unquote adversity that they're going into the tournament with, and also doing something about it. So good on him for that. Also, another thing there that I'd like to point out about, you know, leaning on Darius Days and making sure that the team it has been taken care of is acknowledging that, like this is a moment. He says that this is the one shining moment, that this is an opportunity that they've been given, that they're not just going to take a step back and say, oh, you know, this season's a wash, or, oh, you know, we lost our coach. But this is still such a wonderful opportunity that LSU still has a lot to prove. So good on Kevin Nickelberry for that, and good on Darius Days for stepping up, not just now as a leader, but really throughout his entire tenure at LSU and really taking on an advanced leadership role in Will Wade's absence. But that's the current state of LSU basketball. Now, Will Wade's firing has kind of forced these players to rely on one another and really kind of forced all of these players to take a step forward and take a step up and say, look, I will stand up and be a leader for this team when we need it. That's one repercussion now. Another repercussion in the future that we've seen unravel over the past couple of days is decommitments. Now, we saw the first decommitment come from Devin Rhee, a four-star from Mississippi. It was the first decommitment from Will Wade's 2022 recruiting class. He signed a letter of intent in November. He pledged to LSU. He's been pledged to LSU since December of 2020. So he was totally on board. He took to Twitter on Sunday night, just a day after the announcement of Will Wade's firing, to announce his decommitment. And he took to Twitter to say, I was 100% committed to LSU and their staff, but with all of the uncertainty lingering around their program, I am saddened to announce that I will be reopening my recruitment. My family and I look forward to finding a new home for my collegiate career. Now, first and foremost, let me just preface this by saying, I don't blame the kid by any means. And I don't think that you should either. I don't think that LSU fans should be angry with him or blame him by any means, because his entire career is ahead of him. And so he would only be doing himself a disservice if he continued down the road of going to LSU with so many question marks up in the air. He's only looking out for himself, and I really don't blame him. But one thing that does concern me is that I feel like this is just the first of many dominoes to fall. Now, you get the five-star power forward, Julian Phillips, who's the number 12 player in the country. He signed his national letter of intent. If he so chooses, he's more than welcome to look around and look at other options. If he looks at what's going on at LSU and he says, I want to go to a program with a little bit more stability. If a postseason ban is something that is in LSU's future, we don't know. We won't know until the NCAA has their hearing for LSU. He probably wants to go to a school where he can compete for a championship, because that only ups his stock. I don't blame them whatsoever. I don't blame any of these recruits that have decided to look elsewhere. Now, if things all settle, if the dust falls and it's a slap on the wrist and they decide to come back, then wonderful. But I don't blame these kids one bit for trying to go somewhere to better their careers. Another part of that too is, while we haven't heard it yet, and it doesn't mean that we will, I am worried that there may be, you know, a flood of players entering the transfer portal for those exact same reasons, even if they love their time at LSU. Well, Wade was the coach that recruited them. They probably want to go somewhere where they can be with a coach that recruits them. They probably want to go somewhere with a little bit more stability. We talked about the same thing with the football during the football season, that there were several players that entered the transfer portal after Ed Orgeron was fired because they wanted to go to a program with a little bit more certainty, at least certainty that they knew of. And I don't blame them at all, but I do worry that Devin Rhee, a four-star from Mississippi, is only the first domino to fall. But we will follow that closely, and we'll continue to provide updates, whether that's transfer portals or whether that's more recruits that continue to decommit. We'll continue to update you on that. But coming up next, there's another repercussion of the Will Wade firing, and that's who's going to fill his place. Who is going to be the next coach of LSU? I have three names that have kind of been buzzing around in the rumor mill, and we will address that coming up next. But before we do that, remember that it is college basketball o'clock and the tournament is finally upon us. So go to betonline.net for all the latest odds, contests, and player props. It's your number one source for all of your sports betting needs and information. BetOnline remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. If basketball's not your thing, there's plenty to bet on. They have your continued source for sporting wagering information needs. They've got live betting. They've got your favorite Vegas casino games. Anything that you need in terms of gambling and betting, Bet Online is your place. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Now we've got another coaching search at LSU. It feels like this thing is endless. It seems like as soon as Scott Woodward walked through the door, it was like a clean sweep of coaches and we just got someone new. But we have yet another coaching search on our hands for the LSU basketball team. Now, three names that I have heard kind of floating around the rumor mill. We'll address those. First and foremost, the name that I've heard most, and the name I've heard from colleagues who know nothing about LSU basketball, the name that I've heard from diehard LSU basketball fans, is Rick Pitino. Now, look, current coach at Iona, and of course we know about his scandals at Louisville. He is one heck of a coach. Absolutely. I mean, we saw them beat Alabama. Iona beat Alabama earlier this season. He is one heck of a coach. Absolutely. And he has proved that with the national championship at Louisville, which was, of course, then, you know, taken away, but was won nonetheless. I mean, he's a great coach. He's a great recruiter. Yes. However, taking on Rick Pitino means also taking on his baggage. And I don't know if this is an athletic department, if this is a program that can take on any more baggage. Because how bad of a look is that to the NCAA, who is currently reviewing LSU's notice of allegations while LSU is drafting up a rebuttal to the NCAA to say, hey, look, no, we promise we'll abide by the rules. We promise that, you know, we'll be straight as an arrow moving forward. And then you go out and hire Rick Pitino, who was fired for paying players and for providing players other services as well. I mean, he got fired for the exact same reason and even more so than Will Wade. So I hear you, Rick Pitino. I hear all these fans that are wanting to bring Rick Pitino in because he is one heck of a coach. He's a great basketball coach. But are you going to continue to smear the program? Are you going to send that message to the NCAA that you send one guy out who is paying recruits and paying players? You're going to bring another guy in who was fired for the exact same thing. And I understand that paying players isn't legal, but players being able to benefit off of their name, image, and likeness and receive funds from the school, that's now allowed. But it's not a good look for me. It doesn't sit right with me. And while Rick Pitino, I have no doubt, will bring a lot of success to whatever program he goes to, I don't think that LSU is the place for him. Another name that I've seen kind of thrown around is Matt McMahon of Murray State, which is, I think, of all the names that I've heard so far and the names that I'll list out today, this is my favorite. Murray State's head coach, Matt McMahon, he has a 155-66 career record, pretty solid. He coached his team in the NCAA tournament for the third time in seven seasons. He developed and he coached John Morant. He recruited John Morant, which if you're not familiar, John Morant is the hottest player in the NBA right now. And he's up there with being one of the best players in the NBA with the Memphis Grizzlies. And I mean, you can almost associate Murray State basketball with John Morant. So I think Matt McMahon has shown that he can recruit well. I think Matt McMahon has shown that he's able to develop his players very well, and he's shown that he can win. I mean, he's an overwhelming winning record. I'm honestly picking Murray State to upset Kentucky, and I don't know if that's just like a little bit of bitterness toward the Kentucky basketball program or if it's just because I believe in Murray State being able to make a good run in this tournament. But I think that Matt McMahon is attracted to LSU and that he's a winning coach. He doesn't have any scandals surrounding him. And also on the other side, I think that LSU is an attractive program for Matt McMahon because it is such a step up for Murray State. Because you would be competing against the Tennessees and the Kentuckys and the Auburns of the college basketball world. It absolutely is a promotion for him. And I think that he would be just as interested in LSU as LSU would be in him. Final name that I've heard kind of thrown around here, one that I think is a little bit long shot, but that is Eric Musselman of Arkansas, you know, our good old friend in the sling. He is a former LSU assistant, so he knows the program. He knows that he's a personality fit. He's been there before. He's won at least 25 games in the last 5 to 7 seasons with 5 NCAA tournament appearances at Arkansas. He's a winning coach. He knows LSU. He's been there before. I mean, and this Arkansas team is incredibly impressive. But that would be a lateral move. Why would Eric Musselman go from Arkansas, an SEC program, an SEC powerhouse program, at least, you know, as of late, to LSU, which is another SEC program, which is about, you know, the same caliber program as Arkansas. To me, it feels like a lateral move for Eric Musselman, and he would also be taking on a bit of liability with all of the sanctions that LSU could be faced with. We see so many recruits leaving just for the uncertainty of it all. So I think that for Eric Musselman already being established in a really solid job at a school that is a very similar caliber to, as LSU, I find it hard to believe that that's a move that Eric Musselman would like to make. But hey, Scott Woodward likes to throw those dollars around, so maybe the paycheck could be worth it. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Coming up tomorrow, we have Mailbag Wednesday. So make sure to get those questions in. You can send them in on Twitter at CarolineFenton1 or at Locked On LSU. So make sure to get your questions in there. Plus, we'll continue to do some NCAA tournament previews as well. Now make your second listen Locked On NFL Draft. Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL Draft to life every day with insight and analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.